congressman goes to Belarus, the last dictator known in Europe, to be able to start a Bible study right in Parliament, and a great revival prophesied in Cuba today on VFN TV.
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics in areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going
to
be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States, again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, you know, for the church is ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Do you think about this? God sent his son, Jesus, and Jesus sent us in the world to do what? To make disciples of the nations. That's what he called us to do. We think about how do you do that? One way we do that is go into these seven spheres of culture. We don't just stay in buildings. We're supposed to go outside of our buildings and disciple people in these spheres. You can call them mountains, like the government mountain, the education mountain, the arts and entertainment mountain, the media mountain, the family mountain. We should be impacting these areas. Well, I think about this congressman that went to Belarus, the last dictator in Europe, reportedly, where he's gone there and he's began to reach out to make disciples in the parliament of Belarus. As a matter of fact, take a look. We can learn from this.
Belarus is known as the last dictatorship in Europe. Now its doors may be opening to the West because of Russia's assault on Ukraine. Well, recently, Jennifer Wishon went to the capital of Minsk to witness an historic trip of a U.S. congressman, and how Americans and Belarusian Christians are working together to bring this former Soviet nation in from the cold.
It's hard to imagine this modern city used to be part of the Soviet Union. In fact, only one neighborhood in Minsk survived the ravages of World War II, a time when Belarus lost more people per capita than any other country. remnants of its communist past remain, Vladimir Lenin stands guard in front of parliament. And Belarus is the only former Soviet country to keep the name of the notorious security machine, KGB. The nation is ruled by Alexander Lukashenko, who's been called the last dictator of Europe. Nearly a decade ago, he kicked out the U.S. ambassador, and while the relationship between the countries remains tense, there are signs that Lukashenko, motivated by Russia's aggressions in nearby Ukraine, is warming to the West. Last month, U.S. troops marched past Lukashenko alongside Belarus's military to commemorate the Nazi surrender to the Soviet Union, a public show of unity just weeks before a U.S. congressman made history by accepting an invitation to speak to parliament.
I think what we're doing here today is checking each other out to see if there is a potential for relationship.
His congressional credentials may have cleared the way for the New Mexico Republican, but for Pierce, it was a missions trip.
I go to churches many times and I tell them, my friends, you have locked the doors and we have been inside singing hymns and praises to each other. The problems are outside the locked doors. If you want your faith to grow, then go out there and work with the problems.
In Washington, Pierce attends weekly Bible studies by Ralph and Danielle Drolinger, the founders of Capital Ministries. They're Californians who nearly 20 years ago determined the best way to change policy is to win the hearts of lawmakers for Christ. Since then, they've started ministries in 40 state capitals and Washington.
If we can teach men and women who hold public office, if we can teach them biblical precepts and principles and hopefully win their heart to Christ so they have the indwelling Holy Spirit that leads them into truth, they're gonna think biblically.
The Drolingers push to get Pierce into parliament to spark a flame they pray turns into a regular Bible study. It's radical because Belarus has a poor record when it comes to religious freedom. Despite the nation's Christian Orthodox roots, Pierce's reading of scripture here was a first.
When the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are in power, they groan.
The Belarusian constitution protects religious freedom, but other laws restrict it, and those are the ones the government tends to enforce. That causes problems for evangelicals, or really any religious group, outside the Belarusian Orthodox Church.
We have to register with the government, basically get the permission to meet as a church.
Oleg Rakowski is a Belarusian Baptist preacher, one of a small number of evangelicals in the country. He grew up under communism, and despite watching his preacher father face intense persecution, Rakowski is undeterred.
I remember the days when I was a little child and the KGB people would come to our house to arrest my dad, and I remember how I was hiding under the table, and my dad was not a criminal. All he did, he shared God's love with people.
He's one of four pastors hoping to start a Bible study in parliament following Pierce's speech.
What did you think seeing this American congressman talking about his faith openly in parliament?
I think it was a great thing. They needed to hear the principles that the freedom is built on.
The Drolingers aren't stopping there, though. They're also pushing the Belarusian education minister to adopt a curriculum that teaches the Bible as literature to high school students.
When God began to create heaven and earth.
A day after their presentation, they received a letter saying the Lukashenko administration is very interested.
They want to see if we're trying to lead them down the evangelical road or, you know, a certain religion, and it's not. It's really written from the perspective of literature.
Yeah, absolutely. We also think, and we do share the thoughts, that Bible is the first book, and it's very important book that should be taught at any age, and that the people should be able to read it not just once, but many times.
Despite the country's record of religious intimidation, they're words that would be radical in American education these days. By capitalizing on biblical values shared by Americans and Belarusians, the Drolingers and Congressman Pierce hope to change hearts and minds in this spiritually void and politically strategic part of Europe.
What other country is able to be friends with Russia and the United States? What other nation has been able to get some peaceful solution in the Ukraine? And so I think that they sit here in a very important position.
We want to spend the rest of our lives, Lord willing, you know, seeing just a revival amongst the political people group of our world.
Jennifer Wishon, CBN News, Minsk.
There's a foreign policy initiative you can pray for. What a wonderful thing to do, and it certainly gives us hope. In America today, I think we need hope. We need to understand that God's still on the throne, and He is still working in the world today. And all we have to do is get behind His plan and pray, God, what do You want to do today? And I couldn't agree more with that, Congressman. It's not about let's barricade ourselves in a church and sing songs to one another. Let's get out there. And when you get out there, your faith.
So exciting, is it not? When we get out there, it's our faith in action. The Pharisees, when Jesus was talking to them, they were thinking outside in. And what they're doing here with Capital Ministries and what we're called to do, and that's what we hope to do with VFN Kingdom Business, is inside out. They're really, the way we change things is not to make more laws, but actually to begin to bring people into a relationship with God on the inside of their hearts. And all of a sudden, righteous laws begin to come out. You cannot force somebody into a right way of life. It's actually by the grace of God. And it's so powerful to see that. And remember, so when we start thinking about making transformation, I love what this congressman said. He said, you know, we've been singing songs to each other. Now we need to go out and begin to reach out. And he went to Belarus, the last dictator in Europe, to speak to a parliament. And he read the scriptures, you know, when evil men rule, the people groan. But when there's righteous leadership, the people rejoice. Isn't it worth rejoicing? Rejoicing comes when there's righteous leadership. Righteous leadership comes when you introduce people to our awesome Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who forgives us, who brings us into the right relationship, who gives us the wisdom to be able to walk things out here on this earth. Join us after this break. We're going to talk about revival breaking out in Cuba. Right after we just got into relationship with them again, we took down these sanctions that we had on Cuba. We're wondering what that really meant. And now the Lord is speaking positively, prophetically, about a revival in Cuba. Make sure you join us.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And can you move your arm now?
Oh, my. Jesus went around.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Isn't that not exciting, John, when you look at a congressman, a Christian congressman,
yes,
who realizes the answer, kind of wish they would do that more. Anyway, yeah. So, that's the answer. And they're open to the gospel.
Yes.
This book needs to be taught, needs to be read several times, she's saying. And that's just a beautiful thing. And it's truly, that's what the Lord has called us to do. And you cannot change a person's nature by laws. As a matter of fact, the law is the power of sin. So the more laws we put on someone, the more their sin nature is fired up. But in other words, they would be more driven to sin. It puts power into sin. But the more we understand that Christ died for our sins because he couldn't, he enables us, we make him the Lord of our life by his Spirit, to walk out a way of life that we never could outside of him. And so in America, it's almost like the church is focusing on, in some areas, about we just need some righteous laws.
And externals.
Like externals. And that's what would be called a religious spirit, wouldn't that be?
Religious spirit, right.
Because the Pharisees were doing that, right?
You can't control people to act right. You need to be led right, and it can only be done by the Holy Spirit.
When Martin Luther threw himself in the snow, I mean, he came to the conclusion, for by grace are we saved. I don't know about you, but I need Jesus, man. I need him. And so you're looking at
This is very exciting. Obviously, I really believe that the church is going to awaken to this reality. And one way that we do that at VFN TV is focusing on these seven mountains, these seven specific mountains. And one of those mountains or spheres of society, of a culture, you know, is the government mountain. I mean, the people that are in government, you know, your congressman, your president, your senators, your school superintendent, your board of education board, whatever they're called.
Superintendent of schools?
Yeah, the superintendent, but the...
school board?
School board, yeah, school board. They're human beings.
Mm-hmm.
They are just like you. They get up in the morning, they eat breakfast, they get in their cars and they're driving, and anybody would know better than a person in government. They need as much help and as much prayer as they can get, as much support as they can get, as the decisions that they're making. And one thing that they need is they need God.
Mm.
And they'll be really open. I mean, once you're in that place of great decision and great budget management, you're open to ideas.
Yeah.
And if they don't yet know God, but they would be open to knowing Him. And so one way we do that at VFN TV, you know, we focus on these seven mountains. And when you hear us talk about mountain meetings, you need to participate in those. And maybe you can come and serve, or you feel like you're being called into government, or you want to be able to function and be just like this congressman in your local Senate or your local Congress or the U.S. Congress. Come to the mountain meeting. It's called VFN Kingdom Business. We focus on that. We're so excited about that, and you'll be hearing more about that. If you want to be able to be a part of that, one way you can get hooked up right away is go to civilchristianity.org. civilchristianity.org, learning how to be a civil Christian in a civil land, which means we're supposed to participate in the process. You can sign that 10 commitments that are almost similar to the Dr. King 10 commitments, but kind of updated with our times. And it's like, how can we walk together unless we agree? And I'm telling you, this is the day we can impact. If you can do that in the parliament of Belarus and the last dictator of Europe, I believe you can
still do that. There's hope.
You can do that in America. John, I'm so excited about Cuba and what's being prophesied over Cuba, right?
Pretty amazing to think that this country who's had a dictator, Fidel Castro, for many, many years.
I
mean, over the 60s, right? His brother Raul has taken the leadership. And it's been a closed country to the West, to the United States. And yet to find out through this prophetic word that we'll be sharing with you by Rick Joyner, that revival is coming to Cuba.
And a lot of people might not know, too, that that you could not trade with Cuba. You couldn't go to Cuba until just a few hours ago.
Yeah.
You know, for 50 years, it was closed off. They're driving around in cars that are from the 50s.
From the 1950s. Buildings that have been constructed from back then. Very, very poor. And to know that people that were once held captive are not going to be set free, it's going to be a beautiful thing to watch and to see.
Well, it is. And I think about this particular church, that the church there in Cuba, we'll be talking about it as well, how they thrived during that time.
Yes.
Which is amazing. It's like
under oppression with less money.
Will it take a dictator for the church to thrive again? I don't know. But listen to this prophetic word now from Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, about Cuba. Maybe that's why the Lord these sanctions have been lifted. This would be 862, about this prophetic word by Rick Joyner about what is taking place in prophetically in Cuba.
But I had a dream about Cuba in 2009, and there was a revival in Cuba. Now, in this dream, I was in this very ultra-modern grocery store. And if you've been to Cuba lately, I don't think there is anything ultra-modern down there. I mean, the cars are still from the 50s. It's like they were caught in a time warp. And but anyway, in this dream, I was in this super-modern grocery store, and everything there was so nice and so modern. But what captured my attention more than anything else is everybody there was talking about the Lord, and that's all anybody wanted to talk about. They were so touched and so infatuated with God. Now, this was a pure revival. It's like you felt the purity, and you felt this is, you know, revivals normally come with all kinds of people trying to come and use them, manipulate them. You've got, you know, There's people that are trying to use them to build their own ministry. All kinds of people flock to revivals, some of the best and some of the worst. You've got, you know, you just have that there. It's usually pretty messy. It wasn't this way in Cuba. It's like everything was so nice, but God was still the passion of their heart. And now, he's shown me a lot of things about Cuba since then. Show me that this revival, it would touch the whole nation, transform the whole nation. It would also ignite, I think, what is going to be the greatest revival of the church age, which is going to break out in Russia. And I was also shown that back in the 1970s, actually. I was first shown about the coming revival in Russia. It would be the biggest of all time. Now, Cuba's was pure, but it wasn't that big. But a few of the things the Lord has shown me since about Cuba is it is going to become some of the most valuable property in the world is going to be in Cuba. And it is also going to be some of the safest property in the world. It's going to become a very safe nation. And I believe when this revival comes down there, God is going to have in place a leadership with the wisdom and the discernment to keep out businesses that should not be allowed in. Just corrupt leaders, corrupt types of business, all kinds of things. God has a jealousy for the purity of the whole nation. And I think we're going to have in Cuba an example of what the Great Commission really looks like if you disciple a nation. That's the Great Commission, to disciple nations, not just individuals. But if you could just think about that for a minute, just think about, you know, all the years they've been under communism, and all of a sudden it's like a fresh, clean slate to start all over on. And think about all that we've learned in our republic, and given those lessons to them, along with the mistakes. Look, this is where we got off track. This is where we didn't do right with this. We, you know, I think our core constitution is the greatest instrument of government ever given on the earth, with the exception of what was given through Moses. But suppose you can take all of that and give it to a country where here are all the good things, here are the traps you don't want to fall into. This is how we fell in. Just think of how we could disciple a nation, both spiritually, of course, but how about economically? How about in government? And that's what I believe is called the whole message of this life. And but it's coming. Now, I'm saying this because when the Iron Curtain came down, the body of Christ wasn't very ready for it. And we mobilized and mobilized fast, and a lot of great things were done, a lot of great movements. People just went over there and did everything. But I think we could have done much better had we been prepared beforehand, had all the materials in the different languages, and had the teachers ready and the pastors. And now, there were a few that were, but not many. And the cults were better prepared than the church in many ways. And they took advantage of a lot of criminals, criminal elements, the opportunists. And I don't think the Lord wants that to happen. I know he doesn't want that to happen to Cuba. He wants to keep out the opportunist. But he wants people to go, he wants people to be prepared to help disciple a nation. There are multitudes that are going to come to the Lord. There are I think there's great economic potential in Cuba. There's all kinds of possibilities. It's a wonderful, beautiful place, absolutely phenomenal place. But he has a jealousy about it. The Lord is jealous for the purity of what happens in Cuba. And I'm just saying all that now because it looks like they're just slowly opening up a little bit. But I think there's going to be a point when things start to happen fast, and we need to be prepared.
This is so exciting when you see what's taking place. I think about when the Iron Curtain came down in Russia, what happened? Business and opportunity, and sad to say, a lot of negative opportunity, just rushed in. Now imagine revival being in Cuba, God moving in a powerful way, and godly, you know, businesses coming in, just thriving. It's so exciting what God can do. Yeah. When we get back, we're going to talk about how the church has been thriving under this dictator in Cuba. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Relationships can unravel amid conflict and bitterness and hurtful words. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Here's psychologist Dr. David Clark offering his perspectives on why we so often fall short in our relationships.
We see 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. No one can do that without God's help. It's impossible. Ephesians 5, try Ephesians 5, where you love your wife as Christ loved the church and as you love your own body. Humanly speaking, can't do it. I tried for some years to do it on my own. I simply couldn't get it done. That was part of our journey of Sandy and I finding the spiritual bond. All of a sudden, I'm not loving Sandy. God's loving Sandy through me. Hey, that works like a charm. I can do that.
Your marriage isn't all about you trying to love your spouse. It's really a matter of God loving your spouse through you. And you'll find additional insights and trusted resources to help you do that at FocusOnTheFamily.com/marriage.
We've been talking for some time, and it's not like entertainment, although, you know, we have moments that seem kind of entertaining a little bit. We try to kind of make it as light as we can while it's actually the light of the gospel, because, you know, he tells us to rejoice always and pray continually, for this is God's will for us, so we can, you know, not be dreading what's taking place. But you can listen to the prophetic words. We have them available for you. You can get caught up on God. You can get discipled. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to The Torch. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can download the podcast. You can download the app. You can carry us with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what God said specifically in this whole journey, because this is a network that God is building through your prayers and your love gifts. I mean, our sponsors and our partners and all the prayers that have gone up has birthed what you're seeing, you know, a network now that's reaching around the world, mm-hmm. Television and radio. And it's because God said, I have some things I wanted to say. And this is happening all over the land. It's obviously not just us, but he's raising up voices that just let us know. He says, listen, he says, you know, he commands us to go be the light of the world. We don't have an option. It just seems kind of new because very few people are doing it, but we all should be doing this. And if you're thinking, I just don't know how I can do it. You can do it by becoming a partner. You can do it by joining our sponsors who stand up and hang on the shingle of their business. I stand up for God and country in that order and Israel. And by standing with us, that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. There's so many different areas.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back to VFN TV. Cuba, who would have ever thought, and it's so beautiful, you know, how God is preparing to bless Cuba. And I really believe, John, it's because the church has been, you know, going after God during this time of oppression. And for 50 years, you know, that the church has thrived under Fidel Castro mm-hmm. and this dictator leadership. Isn't that amazing?
Really amazing. You know, it really encouraged me when he said that he was in a super modern grocery store, because it reminded me when I lived in New Jersey, my neighbor's wife is from Cuba. And when her mother came to visit in the United States, the things that she was going to bring back to Cuba to show of her trip were the newspaper clippings, the coupons of all the wonderful foods that we have in America.
We are so blessed.
We're so blessed. And to know that complete transformation, even to the business sector, is going to, you know, happen in Cuba, it's very encouraging.
Take a look at this. This is the Cuban church thriving behind these sanctions that was going on under this oppression. And it looks like prophetically, according to what the Lord revealed to Rick Joyner, that they're going to have revival. God has heard their cry. Take a look.
As relations between the United States and Cuba begin to thaw, a surprising spiritual reality is emerging. The Cuban church is thriving. As Mark Martin tells us, several denominations are reporting amazing growth.
In the midst of an oppressive regime and incredible poverty, the church in Cuba is exploding. In the past 20 years, Baptist churches have grown from several hundred to more than 7,000. Assemblies of God churches once numbered less than 100, and now more than 10,000 are proclaiming the gospel.
The church not only survived, but in the midst of those pressures and difficulties, it grew. It grew solid.
At the core of Cuba's church growth, house churches across the island. That's because back in the 1990s, the Cuban government told churches they could not build any new buildings. The effect? Church growth became very, very easy as Christians simply began meeting in homes. CBN News producer and Latin American expert Stan Jeter recently visited Cuba on a missions trip and explains the phenomenon.
Since they didn't have to focus on building a church or having a property, they were free to just go ahead and evangelize and start meeting in someone else's home.
Believe it or not, many also believe that Cuba's poverty has fueled its church growth. With many Cubans existing on less than $30 a month, there's simply not the money to pursue entertainment, hobbies, or other pursuits that would pull them from the gospel.
One church leader told me that is one of the reasons that church members spend so much time in church activities. They can spend more time evangelizing their neighbors because they're not distracted by a lot of material goods.
Church leaders say one fruit of all this growth is an emerging missions movement in Cuba. Hundreds of believers are considering or planning to head overseas as missionaries. And given their single-minded focus and long-term experience with hardship, they may be uniquely qualified to travel to new lands to spread the gospel. Mark Martin, CBN News.
Think about it, man. From 100 churches to 10,000 churches under this oppression, making $30 a month average in income. And notice that they did it outside of buildings, just regular homes. They were meeting in homes.
Amazing. God was enough.
They went from 100 to 10,000.
Amazing.
Yeah. Under a dictator like Fidel Castro. Think about that.
That's huge.
It's amazing when you're looking, you think, so there's nothing to worry about. It's just got to get rid of the distractions.
Yeah.
Maybe what's coming to America is the removal of all the distractions. I think about this. I think about, you know, in the business sector and working in business, you know, if you're working with in sales or that type of thing and you're trying to motivate a sales force, you find out that if they'll just get rid of the distractions, because they say they're busy, but the reality is they're busy watching TV, playing games, staring at the wall. I mean, they're not busy at all. I mean, how many people are riding their cars at a rapid, risking a ticket, you know, a huge ticket of speeding, only to go home and do nothing? And so when you're in sales, you actually have to convince people, if you'll just give up your distractions for about 3 years, you can be an independent, wealthy businessman. I mean, you have to convince them. Really, you do. You have to, you know, if you're competing with entertainment, with people in the business sector, and it's like, you know, I want you to be successful. All you got to do is just shut off, you know, the entertainment aspect of that thing's going on. Stay informed, but just take that time and move that into productivity. Well, God did that with the church, it looks like. Well, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for good. Because they didn't have those things in Cuba, and they grew. The church grew, and now prophetically, what we're hearing, what God has revealed for quite some time, that you know Rick has known about this, because they're moving Bibles down, as you heard, and they're moving, you know, substance down. And imagine owning some real estate. You couldn't own real estate prior to a couple of days ago, but what our president, President Barack Obama, opened up when he opened up negotiations with Cuba is that potentially, I guess, soon you can own land down there.
That's going to be a great opportunity. Yes. Not to mention about what Rick saw in terms of that this revival in Cuba would spark the greatest move of God. He said he saw the greatest revival in Russia. And that's encouraging.
Yes.
I mean, to know that these nations have been under so much oppression, so much dictator, you know, rule, that when they come unto this the submission of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm just excited to see what happens, because this is it, total transformation,
right.
Discipling the nations. This is a great opportunity with small Cuba,
right,
to see a total nation transformed.
Yeah, and she's made a big boast. I mean, Cuba over the years, you know, Bay of Pigs and all the things that have happened, and it looks like at the darkest moment, when things get their darkest, in the natural sense, they look the most hopeless, that's when God is about to break through. They say that right before the breaking of a day it's the night's darkest moment. Mm. You know, working in shift work for years in law enforcement, you can just watch that dark night. But there comes a point where at the darkest point hits, and all of a sudden light begins to come into that day. And you look at things going on, I mean, America's pretty well ripe for a major outpouring in our own country. I mean, you think about what took place, as we talked about in previous programs, you know, about revival in the 60s and 70s. And, you know, we took that move of God and kind of turned it into something else in the 80s, you know, about prosperity and these other things. But God was just moving powerfully in the Jesus people, Jesus movement. Just taking what looked like a hopeless situation, totally turning it around. And a lot of the pastors and leaders and missionaries you see today that are walking around, potentially in a suit, you know, and just are on the front stage somewhere or on some broadcast, that they were on surfboards. You know, they were riding around in the first minivans, you know, the VW vans painted with flowers painted on the side of it, living communally, trying every chemical known to man to see if it would make their brain do weird things, you know.
This is the generation of Woodstock. So if you feel that this generation is hopeless, many thought that generation was hopeless, and a powerful move. God used them powerfully.
It's so not hopeless. If you're part of that generation, we're preparing for you.
That's right.
We believe Azusa Street 2.0 is on its way, and it's going to be your generation that's going to be used. And I believe there's people of the older generation that's ready to help you and mentor you and bring you into that place to prepare you for that. And one way we do that is through the VFN internship program that we have at the VFN TV studios. It's a limited amount of people that can actually be there, but I encourage you, if you're interested in it, contact us at 844-40-VFN-TV or go to VFNTV.com and let us know and say that you're interested in the VFN internship program at VFN TV studios. It's amazing what you can learn and be prepared. And you know how, if you're that age group, you're listening to me now, you know that media is how your generation communicates, whether it's social media, whether it's YouTube, whether it's, you know, just making your own movies and your iPhones and your Android phones. And God's about to use all that, just a whirlwind of testimonies and things that he's doing. And we want to teach you how to use these tools and have fun at doing. There's nothing more exciting than to move within what you desire to do. God has a plan for your life, a powerful plan for your life. And you're not necessarily called to this, you know, what previously generations have done. God's going to be doing a new thing. Over a billion souls, you know, are going to be won into the kingdom of God. And imagine what that's going to take. It's going to be a lot like what you saw in Cuba in regards to, it's just too big. It can't be contained in any particular building. It'll be in stadiums. So if you're interested in that, you know, I want you to be able to contact us at VFNTV.com and let us know the VFN internship. There's a limited amount of people that can do that, but you can find out the details by calling us or contacting us. And the phone number is 844-40-VFN-TV. When we come back from this break, we're going to revisit Miriam. You know, she was in the refugee camps in Jordan when the persecution of ISIS was taking place in her own community and still is, and how she responded that melted our heart, plus an update on her. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I command blind eyes.
Ministry is valuable not only in the sense that it's alleviating suffering throughout the world, but more importantly, it is awakening people that if God is capable of working miraculously in this physical body, how much more capable is he of working miraculously to my spirit and saving me for eternity?
The doctor said that you had a torn rotator cuff. So show me what you couldn't do 5 minutes ago.
And can you move your arm now?
Oh my.
Jesus went around and he healed all. So all means all. It doesn't mean some. It doesn't mean, no, only a couple. He said all.
Okay, now move around. Tell me how you feel.
Muscle, tendons, ligaments, and bones be reattached now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now move it around. And how do you feel, man?
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is Miriam. Miriam was ran out of her home, ran out of her community by ISIS, and she's a Christian. She's given her testimony. You got to see this. It'll just melt your heart. She has the right viewpoint. We need to have her viewpoint. This has gone viral around the world.
During our visit to this camp, we were surprised to find this girl who said that she watched our program. Her name is Miriam. How are you doing, Miriam?
Fine, how are you?
I'm great. You really watch our program?
Yes.
You like Sat 7 Kids?
Yes.
Where are you from? Are you two from Kirikosh?
Yes, I'm from Kirikosh.
You're 10 years old, aren't you?
I am.
How long have you been in this camp?
4 months.
What's the thing that you miss most from Kirikosh that you don't have here?
We used to have a house and we're entertained, whereas here we're not. But thank God, God provides for us.
What do you mean God provides for you?
God loves us and wouldn't let ISIS kill us.
You know how much God loves you, don't you?
Yes, God loves us all. Not just me, God loves everybody.
Do you also think God loves those who harmed you or not?
He loves them, but he doesn't love Satan.
What are your feelings towards those who drove you out of your home and caused you hardships?
I won't do anything to them. I will only ask God to forgive them.
And can you two forgive them?
Yes.
Well, that's very hard, or is it easy, to forgive those who made you suffer?
I won't kill them. Why kill them? I'm just sad they drove us out of our homes. Why did they do that?
You used to love your school in Kirikosh, didn't you?
Yes, I was the first of my class always.
You also have friends from school?
Yes.
Are they here with you, or is none of them here?
There are, but I don't know where.
Maybe some of them are watching Sat 7 Kids on TV now. What would you like to tell them?
I used to have a friend before I came here. Her name was Sandra. We used to spend the whole day together. All day at school we were together. Even though we didn't live close by, we loved each other a lot. If any of us wronged to the other, we used to forgive each other. Sometimes we used to play and wrong to each other, but we used to forgive one another. We used to love each other. Now I only wish to see her.
Do you know where she is?
No, I don't know where she is.
If Sandra is watching us now, I'm sure she's sending you her greetings. And I'm sure she loves you, Miriam.
She loves me a lot. And I love her too and wish to see her one day.
For sure. And I wish that she would be with you on the day that you meet Sandra.
Hopefully.
What does that mean?
I hope we get to go back home and she goes back home so we can meet again.
I hope you go back to a home that's better than your first home.
If God so wants. Not what we want, but God, because he knows.
Don't you sometimes feel sad? Do you feel Jesus had forsaken you, for example?
No, sometimes I cry because we left our home in Kirikosh, but I'm not angry at God because we left Kirikosh. I thank him because he provided for us. Even if we're suffering here, he provides for us.
You taught me so many things.
Thank you. You taught me things too.
What did I teach you?
You taught me... You didn't teach me. I mean, you felt for me. You felt for me. I had some feelings, and I wanted people to know how I feel. The children here.
Do you know that Jesus will never forsake you?
He will never forsake me. If you're a true believer, he will never forsake you.
Do you remember a song that you used to sing and talk to Jesus through it, or don't you remember anything at all?
I know some songs.
Would you like to sing to me the song that you like the most? Just a short song that you can sing to us? What do you think?
There's a song.
That is just, she so moves your heart, doesn't she? What a beautiful testimony. And we just go through small trials and we complain. Dear Lord, help us where we've complained about. Here she is going through all this and seeing such great tragedy. And even like Jesus said, he said, pray for your enemies and bless them. And that's what Miriam's doing. Just so blessed. This thing went viral around the world. As a matter of fact, we want to be able to update you on where she is and how she's doing. As a matter of fact, take a look at this update.
1 year since the Islamic State overran much of northern Iraq, ISIS has brutalized, raped, and murdered thousands.
We have shared many, many of the horror stories, but we have also learned of one of the little Christians who have overcome, and her story has inspired us all. Gary Lane traveled to Iraq and brings us her story.
For Iraq, the summer of 2014 was like no other. A militant Muslim group known as the Islamic State overran the city of Mosul and nearby villages. Thousands were killed or kidnapped, and more than a million people fled into Iraqi Kurdistan. Over the last year, we brought you many reports about Christians who have been forced from their homes because of ISIS right here in Iraq. But there's one little girl whose story went viral, and we thought we'd introduce you to her once again. Late last year, the world was amazed to hear a young Christian named Maryam tell a reporter she forgives ISIS. Tens of thousands of people viewed her comments on the internet. I recently caught up with the 11-year-old and her younger sister Zomarod as they returned from school. Their family recently moved into a small two-bedroom trailer in a community of displaced Christians in Erbil. So why is Maryam unafraid of ISIS? And why does she forgive the jihadists who drove her from her home in Karakosh?
In the Bible, Jesus said to us, don't be afraid. I am with you. And also he said, forgive others, no matter who they are hating you. You have to forgive them. Jesus is my Father, and he is my Creator. I have no one else better than him. When ISIS drove us out of our home, his hand was on us, and he saved us.
And when Miriam grows up, she wants to join Doctors Without Borders.
There are people everywhere who need treatment, but they cannot get it because they don't have enough money to go to the doctor, and the doctors aren't usually available. Jesus said, you've been given freely, so you should give freely. This is why we should love them and provide treatment.
Miriam says she cherishes the Bible because it is God's love story to humanity.
The only story in the Bible is the story of the resurrection of Christ Jesus the Lord, because through that story we can have hope.
And this young Christian says when she prays, it isn't for a bigger home or more possessions.
When I pray that God might help us to go back home, and also that the peace of God might come all over Iraq, and also may God forgive ISIS.
So what is the source of Miriam's unshakable faith and the words of wisdom beyond her years?
The words I am speaking to you are not coming from a random place. They are coming from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave me the words to tell you.
Miriam's father, Waleed, is proud his daughter became an internet sensation.
I'm thinking God gave me a nice daughter to separate the word of Jesus to all the world through the media, not because to famous her, but to give the regard of God to all the people and the peace.
Miriam and Zomorod love singing hymns.
Ya Rabbu Akrubu.
Their mother, Alice, taught them the words to Christian songs. Alice told me, it seems like the Holy Spirit put in their hearts to love these songs and dedicate this part of their personality to love God and praise God. So they admire this way of worshiping. And finally, Miriam advises Christian children in the United States and elsewhere to love God and share their faith with friends.
They don't need to be frightened, and also, things that happen in their lives, they should learn from us and our lives. This should not be to get something or to get glory for ourselves. It is for the sake of God, because God lives, and we want to do everything for the glory of God, and also for exalting God in our lives.
Gary Lane, CBN News, Erbil, Iraq.
Out of the mouth of babes, George.
Yeah,
sometimes it
powerful
takes,
words.
Sometimes it takes a youngster to lead
That's
the way
right.
in
exactly.
these times.
And in this case, ISIS.
I know. Yeah. Wow.
Hope they are watching.
Me too.
I'm going to close on prayer. Father God, we just thank you for Miriam, Father
yes,
God,
Lord.
Her testimony, Lord. Help us to live that kind of life before the world. Help us to love our enemies. Bless those who curse us, Father God. And we just pray even right now, Father God, for even those that are meaning harm across the nation, Lord, that you would just forgive them. Save them, restore them. We pray, yes. Lord, and thank you for what you're going to do in Cuba, Father God, with the revival, Lord God. And we thank you for this congressman who went into Belarus, God, that you would continue, Father God, moving that way even in our nation, God, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com, go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Take some time to go to Israel. Take some time to go to Israel. And of course, what most people are going to say, well, I don't have time. I mean, I don't have, you know, things are tight. Okay, I'm already prepared for that.
Find out what it would cost you to go to Israel. Mm-hmm. You know, what the plane tickets would cost you, what your passports would cost you, what the hotels would cost you, what the food would cost you, what the tour buses would cost you, and come up with that figure right there and say, okay. And then take that money and spend it in Israel. From right where you are, right there in Arizona, go online and begin to just explore Israel. And, you know, and go to the Galilean Experience there in Eric's store and just buy something online from his store. And then go up and think about, hey, you know, I'm going to give some money to Dugid there in Tel Aviv, to Avi's ministry up there. Or, you know, I'm going to purchase these DVDs, not from America. Mm. Spend it in Israel. And think about this, that it's just like, it's actually better for them because they didn't have to tolerate us over there. But, you know, you can get so many different things there. Get you some prayer cloths. Get you some pictures of the city. You know, virtual tours. All kinds of things that you can do. But just spend. I mean, if you don't have that whole amount, spend a tenth of it there at least. I mean, if you don't have the whole money, what it cost you, say, I'm going to take 10% of what it would cost me to go there because I don't have the money right now. I'm going to spend that in Israel. Mm. And make sure that it's Israel. But understand how significant that would be for them, for their economy. I mean, it's already booming already. I mean, John Kerry, your Secretary of State, says, you're saying right now, because you have these walls that are working, you have an economy that's doing good. It's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But just, that's a way to bless Israel. Do business in Israel. That's a lot of equipment that we have in our studios and all comes from the Jewish people. And just spend your money in Israel. Just take the, you can't fly there, fine. But you can spend there with today's internet capabilities. You can pull up and start with the Galilean Experience right there with Eric. Go up to the northern borders. Spend some funds up there. I can't think of some stores that are up there. Buy some different things. Just spend some money in Israel. What a way to bless Israel, to be able to do business in Israel right there. It's just exciting to think about. Man, what a way to do that. I can't fly there right now. Maybe you can't get away right now, but you can spend money there. You can do it virtually. Let's visit Israel.